Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you here on Sports Daily. We are in the fall groove, and we are glad to be in the fall groove as we make our way through. And boy, do we have a lot to get to today. We get the Rashi Rice news. We get the Royals and a big series finale against the White Sox, and finally, a day off. We get our NFL official prediction show here today. We'll bring in our betting insider, PJ Glasser. We'll bring in our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald. It's all on tap for you today, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer. It's made with actual pumpkin and served with a spiced rim. Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Tommy, good morning. You ready for all this?
Man, it's a busy day. I don't know how we're going to cram it all in. I feel like we might need to extend the show out a little bit to get everything in.
It's going to be tight. It's going to be tight. That's for sure. So what we will do is we will go through this and then get you through the news. So we're going to start right here off the top, Tommy, with the big news. And that's Rashi Rice yesterday. He gets a 6-game suspension. He agrees to a 6-game suspension. It lands exact. I don't know where you ultimately landed on how long this would be. I always thought 6-game suspension made the most sense, maybe 6 to 8. That's where it lands. I think that's, it sounds like it's a settlement. The league wanted more than that. Rice wanted less than that. They got to 6. He's not going to fight it. That's a good look for him, quite frankly. And now he'll be out 6 games, and the Chiefs at least know when it will be. It'll be right at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I think that clarity is extremely important. I know it was really surprising when the news came out about the independent arbitrator hearing the case and when that was scheduled and the fact that there were going to be regular season games that were played before then. I think that all indications were that, yeah, while that was on the table and scheduled, that both sides were probably going to look for some kind of settlement or resolution before the regular season started. And for me, I mean, you could start to really figure out that something was happening behind the scenes when the final 53-man roster came out and the Chiefs were carrying 8 wide receivers. I know you and I talked about that just the other day about, man, like, why are they carrying 8 wide receivers? And for me, it seemed like, number one, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but number one, Jalen Royals may not be good to go for the first game in Brazil. But then number two, it indicated to me that there was potentially something going on with the Rashi Rice suspension and that maybe something would happen sooner rather than later. And so it didn't at the time make a whole lot of sense as to why they were carrying 8 wide receivers. Now we understand that because Rice won't be on the 53-man roster when the season begins.
Yeah, it's it was a good call by you. 8 guys doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? It's just, it's strange that we couldn't have gotten to this point sooner. Not that it, you know, ultimately it landed where I think everybody probably expected it to. The league wanted to go big. The Chiefs were, or well, Rashi Rice was hoping to go small. They meet in the middle, 6 games. But why didn't they just start there, right? Like, what took so? It doesn't matter anymore because it happened before the start of the season. And now the Chiefs will prepare for it. Rice will have time for his knee to heal a little bit more. And so, look, is it an ideal scenario for the Chiefs? Of course it's not. They play some of their most difficult games right out of the gates here. As we'll get to in our predictions, there probably isn't a ton of margin for error this year. So now they've got to figure out life without Rashi Rice. They've also got to probably, to your point, figured out without Jalen Royals, who at least doesn't appear to be available now. So the deep wide receiver room is being pushed to its limit right out of the gate, Tommy. Now it's Worthy, Juju, Hollywood Brown, Kelsey. It's essentially the group that they had at the end of last season and into the playoffs. That's what they'll have to open this season. Now, I think it's a healthier, more acclimated Hollywood Brown. I think it's an Xavier Worthy we saw at the end of the year that was a big, big weapon for them. And I think it's a rejuvenated Travis Kelce and a much better offensive line. So I still think it will be better, but it's certainly not going to be as good as it would be without Rashee Rice. But we knew this was coming at some point. I mean, it was like there was no way that he skated a long suspension here. He sent people to the hospital. If any of those people don't survive, Tommy, we're looking at a Henry Ruggs situation, right? Like it's just, I think that the whole thing, like everybody's got to be ready for that thing to be behind him. I'm very hopeful that Rashee Rice learned a very serious lesson in all of this and he can come and finish a career and do all those things, but it's behind us now and the Chiefs won't have him for 6 weeks. And this is significant.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, I feel like collectively Chiefs Kingdom kind of exhaled a little bit, at least from what I could tell, just from what I saw on social media and all of that. And then I kind of exhaled as well, because to your point, the Chiefs made a Super Bowl run a season ago without Rashee Rice, who was injured, without Jalen Royals, who was still in college, with Hollywood Brown just coming back and being healthy, missing all of the regular season and really only getting game reps in the playoffs. Xavier Worthy, who was a rookie and getting acclimated to life in the NFL, and Travis Kelce, who a lot of people had said had lost a step a season ago. That was what they had. Those were the weapons that Patrick Mahomes had in his last Super Bowl run a season ago. So it's the same personnel to run the first 6 weeks of the season, but to your point, better. I think better in all accounts. Better with and healthier with Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. You know, we saw him ascend throughout the regular season and into the playoffs and really become a major, major threat to opposing defenses. Travis Kelce, who looks phenomenal during the offseason. So I don't think, of course, you want to have Rashee Rice out on the field. You absolutely do. He's your wide receiver one. But I think there was a collective exhale a little bit that, okay, we know what the punishment is. It's happening at the beginning of the season. The Chiefs can get it out of the way. And even without him, this is the same personnel that went to a Super Bowl a season ago. So, and really, I know that the first six games are, you know, by and large, as a whole, difficult. But you might have a different opinion than I do on this. Really, in my opinion, the only game of major significance in that first six is the Ravens game. Because that's where...
Yeah, I disagree.
But that's where you're going to have to worry about home field advantage. That's where you're going to have to worry about the number one seed in the AFC. Yeah, you've got a divisional matchup against the Chargers. You've got a Super Bowl rematch against the Eagles. But in my opinion, the only game that really will impact like seeding and all of that and where the playoffs run through is that game against the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. We'll get into it. I think the problem is you're looking at games they could lose. You were already looking at games they could lose. But when you're considering Lions, Ravens, Eagles, and maybe the Chargers, you lose two of those games and you're behind the eight ball a little bit in that home field advantage conversation. You lose three of them. You know, I think that's all on the table. And we'll get into this in our next segment because we're going to predict the NFL season here in our long segment of this hour. But it's definitely something to consider and to factor in when we go through those things. And that's what we'll do next on the way out here. Before we do that, let's give away some Swing 365 Golf. All you got to do to win a week in the free week in the best simulator in town. It's indoor. It's private. It's great. They got a couple of TVs. You can bring your own food and drinks in. Text the keyword swing right now to 20357. That's swing to 20357 for your chance to win. It's Albrecht and Caster. We have a jam-packed show, so we're moving quickly today on a Thursday. We're coming back. We'll predict the NFL season next on Sports Daily.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. Glad to be with you on this Thursday morning. Sports Talk on KFH presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days. You can always, though, count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. And 12 News. That's all coming soon. We appreciate you watching us right now on 12 News Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, all the places that you take in the show. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up. It's a rainy, cool, fake fall morning here, so the Prairie Fire Coffee is always greatly appreciated as well. And thank you to Crestview Country Club for their support of this program. It is a day that you're glad, Tommy, that you can go hit the couple of simulators at the club. Maybe you forego the outside golf and just go have a beer at the bar or the great restaurant there. But lots of different things going on at Crestview Country Club. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you. Ask about all the different memberships that they have going today. It's a lot of different ways you can take in the fun out there. We appreciate their support. All right, Tommy, it's NFL prediction time. Now, this is hard. Like, this is, and I knew this was going to be hard. It's been hard all off season. I think it's been the last at least 3 years, if not four, or maybe even five. I don't know. It's been a long time since I haven't picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. And I'll just, you know, spoiler alert, I'm not going to pick the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. Okay.
It's the first time in a while. It's an interesting year because I'm so high on the potential of their offense. But I do think their defense will be not quite as good. And I also think the teams around them that are of significance have all gotten better in the AFC. So that's kind of the basis of it. We'll get to that. Are you surprised at all with where you went? Will people be surprised at all with where you went here?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that it's, a lot of it, obviously, we went through each division and kind of the way that we see each division panning out. Really, for me, where it's been the most difficult is at the very end of the wild card.
Which is always difficult.
In both leagues. Like, there are a couple of teams that I'm bouncing back and forth on about, will they make it into the playoffs? Will they not as the wild card? That's really been the most difficult. I think, you know, out of the eight different divisions, there's probably six of them that I feel highly confident in. Which I think is probably more than usual. I think that we know, at least I feel like I know, I've got a pretty good idea on who I think is going to win each division outside of a couple of them.
Yeah, I our divisional winners, I don't remember yours, Tommy. We went through these. I don't think either of us had surprises there. In fact, they may all be the same for me as they were. Did the Rams end up winning the division last year? They may be the same as they were a year ago, essentially. With the exception of, no, they did. Yeah, I think all my division winners are the same as they were a year ago. For me, it's Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, Houston, Detroit, Philly, Tampa Bay, and the Rams. Those are the division winners. Just as a recap, we've taken these division by division. Did you have anything different than that? I think we were the same.
So my division winners, I have Chiefs, Ravens, Texans, and Bills. That's the same as you, I believe, right? In the AFC.
Yeah.
And then in the NFC, I've got Rams, Eagles, Packers, and Bucks. So there might be, I've got the Packers winning the division in the North.
Okay. I have the Packers not making the playoffs. That division, if we recall, is a wild one. And there's, you know, if I knew they were fully healthy, that might change, but they're pretty banged up right now. All right. So let's take this through. So we'll go, you know, your wild cards then. I'll let you start us here. Wild cards in the NFC.
Yeah, I've got the Lions as a wild card. I think that they still make the playoffs. I think the Packers from top to bottom are poised to make a division title run. Also, by the way, then this is totally speculation and rumors, but there have been some rumors going around that potentially Micah Parsons could be traded to the Packers. And so if that happens, then it, you know, that puts them over the top, I feel like, for sure, in that division. But I still have the Lions making the playoffs. They'll be probably the best wild card team in either conference. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But I've got Detroit as a wild card. I've got the Commanders as a wild card. And I've got the 49ers as a wild card.
Okay. Commanders. Okay. Yeah, this is where it gets really, really difficult for me. And I have the Commanders taking a step back. I'm going to eat these words. I'm almost certain, but I don't have the Commanders making it in. Now I have them still winning a bunch of games and doing all those things. I felt like I needed sort of a bold commitment in this thing because it was getting really vanilla. And so I'm like, you know what? I do think the Commanders will take a step back. Something crazy always seems to happen. So probably the craziest thing I have happening in any of this is that the Commanders don't make it and the Bears make the playoffs. So I have my wild cards as the Bears, the Cowboys, and the Vikings. I think the Vikings, even now with Thielen, boy, that protects them a little bit more. JJ McCarthy's being put in a really good position to succeed. I am pretty high on them. I do think Dallas's offense is going to be very, very high octane. Dak Prescott always wins 8 games. If that's his floor, I think they could get to 10. That's also pretty risky, though. So those are my 3 wild cards. The Commanders, that means the Commanders don't make it for me, Tommy. That means the 49ers don't make it for me. Like, there's some, I'm taking some bold risk. I told you,
You've got the Packers not even making the playoffs.
I got the Packers last in their division, which again, that one to me, like that division, the whole thing could go upside down. And I'm like, whatever. Like, I don't feel terrible.
And I'm solely basing off my Commanders wild card pick based off of what they did a season ago. And I'm not baking in really any kind of regression or any kind of step back, you know, for them. So who knows? I mean, I'd like to think that Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn, even with the loss of Brian Robinson, they've got Terry McLaurin back now locked in. I'd like to think that they'll be able to continue what they did a season ago. But to be, you know, quite honest with you, it was a major, major, major difficult decision for me between the Niners and the Bears for that final wild card spot. So I don't think it's way outlandish to say the Bears take that step forward and make the playoffs. In fact, when we did our division in the NFC North, I've got the Bears over the Vikings. I think the Vikings finish last in the division, and I've got the Bears in third place, and they were right there on the cusp, in my opinion, of a wild card berth. But I went with the more proven 49ers squad. You know, obviously they're decimated by injuries right now, but I've got them as getting that final wild card spot.
Let's take you in then to the AFC. I'll go first here with wild cards, and this time for me it's going to be Denver as the final seed in, Chargers then would be the 6th seed, and Cincinnati as the 5th seed. It's hard to imagine. It's easy to imagine Cincinnati's defense being as bad as it was a year ago. It's hard to imagine them playing as poorly as they did early in the season and not being able to overcome that anyway. So I'll put Cincinnati in as my 5 seed. You know, that it's not as, that's not as painful, I don't think, as it is in the NFC when you're going to say, oh, that means I have the Titans and the Jaguars and the Colts and the Browns and the Raiders and the Jets. Like, there aren't as many like, ugh, in the AFC as there are in the NFC.
Yeah, so I've got Denver as well. In fact, I've got Denver as the first wild card team. I don't have them as the final bid. I think that they'll be pretty good this year. So I've got the Broncos as my first wild card team. I've got Pittsburgh making the playoffs, and that's solely because of Mike Tomlin. It's solely because of the fact that, like, they're never bad, even, and we have no idea how the marriage between he and Aaron Rodgers will work out, but I've got the Steelers getting into the playoffs as a wild card. And then it was a big decision for me too. Like, I went between, really like trying to figure out, okay, is there another team that could come in and take down Cincinnati for that final wild card spot? And I think the Chargers will do it. So I've got the Chargers over the Bengals as my final wild card team. There was another dark horse team that I considered a really bold move, and that was the Patriots, having them sneak into the final wild card spot. I do think they'll take a big step forward. I'm not sure they'll get all the way to the playoffs this year. So I kept them out, but I was really close to putting them in as my final wild card team.
Yeah, it's and these things at the bottom end don't, like, I'm not going to sit here I'm not going to sit here in 4 months and like regret any of this or anything. It's just we're trying to do this the best we can. It's a fun thing to do at the beginning of the season, but meh. When we get further in here now, that's where it gets a little dicey. So what we'll do now is we'll take you to our conference championship games. You can go first here, Tommy. Who do you have representing the NFC in the conference championship?
Yeah, in the NFC, I have got the Packers representing the NFC, and I've also got the Eagles representing the NFC. So I think those two teams will be in the NFC championship game.
And who do you have winning?
I actually have the Packers winning. I'm really high on Green Bay this year. I've got them going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, look, if they get everybody healthy, they have a lot to work with. Yep. One of the best defenses in football, and about five very talented, highly drafted wide receivers. So I get it. All right, for me, it's Philly and Detroit, and I'm going to take the Lions. I really do think, man, it's little things for me. I've always thought, and we went through this in the divisions, I think they're being overlooked. I think the coordinator thing is a big deal, but their players are all still really good and ascending, right? So many of their players are hitting their prime at the same time, especially offensively. We are going to have to see Goff in fewer indoor games, which that to me is more concerning than the coordinator thing. But I do like their players. I think their defense is certainly going to be better. I think Hutchinson is a baller. And, you know, just little things like this Tesla guy, the third-round rookie they took out of Arkansas blowing up in the preseason. I'm like, what if they have another weapon there? Like, what if you throw him in the mix of Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery and this great offensive line? They just feel like they're going to be really good to me, and I think they're ready to take the next step.
So honestly, I've
got Detroit representing.
Yeah, and with the Lions, real quick on that, the only reason I don't have them going to the conference championship is because I have them as a wild card, so their path will be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah,
they'll have to play one more game, and I've got a bad taste in my mouth from the way the home playoff game went a season ago for them.
I do. I have them as the one seed. So in mine, they're playing through Detroit. Yeah. I do think that's going to be difficult for them, but I also think it's going to be difficult for Philadelphia because I think all three of the teams in Philadelphia's division are good. I won't say I don't think Washington's better, but even if Washington's as good, Dallas will certainly be better with Dak Prescott. And I do think the Giants with Russell Wilson are going to be better than the disaster that was last season. Watch out for Kim Scadabo at some point. All right, in the AFC, I'll go first here. I've got Kansas City going to Baltimore. I do think this Rice news swayed me back over the line. I don't know if they're going to be able to host this thing this year. But this is more about the Ravens. It's hard for me not to pick the Chiefs because I have so much faith in Mahomes and I have so much faith in Andy Reid. And I do think their offense is going back to the old days when we'll score a ton of points. But man, I think the Ravens will too. I think the Ravens defense got so much better over the course of last season that I kind of feel like they're going to be an elite unit this year. And if they're an elite unit, If Derrick Henry still has any gas in the tank, and I don't know why we wouldn't think he does, he's a unicorn, then I just, like, their offense and defense are going to be so good. It's finally the year Lamar has some good playoff games, takes him to the Super Bowl, and then I'll pick Baltimore over Detroit in my Super Bowl. I've got the Ravens winning the Super Bowl. It was hard not to take Kansas City. It was hard not to take Buffalo as the team that gets through finally this year and represents in a Super Bowl. I just think the Ravens between the Ravens and the Bills and the Chiefs, I think the Ravens probably end up with the best defense this year. And I also think they end up with home field And so that's where it was for me.
Yeah. So where I do agree with you is I also have Kansas City going to Baltimore. And the only reason I've got Baltimore as the higher seed is because these two teams play head to head and they won't have Rashee Rice. And I do think that that will be the deciding factor, that they're, you know, that may end up being a tiebreaker in the conference. So I do have Kansas City as like the number two seed going to Baltimore. But where I differ is I think Kansas City will win. I've got the Chiefs going back to the Super Bowl for the fourth year in a row, and I've got Kansas City winning the Super Bowl over Green Bay. And really, I think a lot of it is because, by all accounts, it's probably Travis Kelce's last year, and this team is pretty angry from the way things went a season ago. Yep. So while they may not have as many regular season wins, that's going to be highly, highly, highly difficult for them to accomplish in the regular season, going 15-2 like they did a year ago. I think that they'll be a better overall team talent-wise and production-wise than they were a year ago. I think they'll make a run through the playoffs, back to the Super Bowl. And I like Green Bay a lot, but I don't think Green Bay is ready to shine on that stage. I'll take the experience over the Chiefs in Green Bay in the Super Bowl.
This is one where I'll tell you, the only two futures bets I've made are the Chiefs and the Lions winning the Super Bowl. I'm not confident at all that it won't be the Chiefs. And if we get into like week three, and the defense is acclimated and looks like it's going to be a top tier unit again, I'm going to change my mind. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm telling everybody, like, I will change my mind. If this defense looks like it's going to be like it has been, then I'm going to change my mind and I'll probably go back to the Chiefs. But I think that's a big question right now. So as we're predicting on August 28th, which is always a fun and silly and pointless thing to do anyway, because so many things happen in the NFL with injuries, that there it is. Like that, so we make our picks real quick, Tommy. Do you have an MVP pick? I'll go first in case you don't. Let's think about it because we have just a couple of minutes. I'm gonna say Joe Burrow is going to be the MVP this year. He'll get his. I think that defense is going to be bad. I think he's going to challenge probably some passing records because he will have to this year. And so they will make the playoffs and he'll have the kinds of numbers that he had. And it'll be just too much to ignore. And it'll be like, all right, well, 5,000 yards and 45 touchdowns and they made the playoffs. Joe Burrow is going to be our MVP. So that's my MVP.
Yeah, I don't have Joe Burrow. I mean, I think he'll put up really good stats as he usually does. And the team is going to have to score a bunch of points to be able to have any kind of chance at making the playoffs. But because I don't have the Bengals even in the playoffs, I can't pick Joe Burrow.
If they don't make it, he won't win it.
So my MVP pick is Lamar Jackson. I think Jackson will have another MVP-type season. He'll lead the Ravens to the number one seed. But, of course, I've got Kansas City upsetting them in the conference championship to go to their fourth straight Super Bowl. But I've got Lamar as my MVP.
There it is. There's your NFL predictions. Sure to fail. Maybe not. We've been pretty good at these. It's been,
who's your defensive, always, do you have a defensive player of the year? Do you have anybody in mind for that?
I'll throw a dart at a dark horse. I think Hutchinson might get it. I think he's going to stand out on what won't be an elite Lions unit, but I have them going to the Super Bowl. I think he could pile up tons of sacks for them. I'll call Hutchinson in an ascending career.
Yeah, I honestly, Hutchinson was who I had written down too, because I think that he's got, that chip on his shoulder after getting injured a season ago and all of that. So I think Hutchinson will be the guy.
He's going to have a lot of sacks and it usually goes to that player. So Hendrickson, it's kind of the same Hendrickson formula, right? The opposing teams will probably have to throw it a lot and he stands out that way. That's interesting that you went that way. I wouldn't have thought that. That's a hard award. That award's so hard. I mean, it's basically just pick the best pass rusher every year. And didn't Sertan get it last year though?
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah, and he was outstanding. Let me just double check that. I believe it was Patrick Sertan. So last year was a good example. It doesn't happen very often, but it can that you don't get it to. Get it to a corner. So there those are. Tommy, baseball time. It is it's a good day off. We've had a few of those little unnerving days off lately, but it's a good day off now for the Royals, who just explode against the White Sox. 12-1 winners. The Mariners also win yesterday, which is a bummer. The Red Sox also win yesterday, which is a bummer. The Yankees also win yesterday, which is a bummer. So no progress in the wild card standings, but you didn't lose a game. It took 4 or 5 innings, and all of a sudden the Royals put up an 8 spot in the fifth, and good night, Cardinals. They did a nice job.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, like they were able to offensively come alive, and there were, you know, so many different key contributors in that game to take the series against the White Sox. Really, it started with Bobby Witt Jr. and a 2-out single on the right side that drove in a couple of runs, and then the floodgates were open, and they put up a bunch of 2-out runs and got 2-out hits and all of that. It was a really good showing for them about midway through the game. And, you know, Aaron Civale, he pitched pretty well through the first 4 or 5 innings, really held the Royals down. The Royals were not able to get a whole lot going on. I posted on social media yesterday that if there was a book that was going to be written about the 2025 Royals season, it would be titled Feast or Famine. That's really the way that this offense has performed all season long, where they get shut down and they do absolutely nothing. But then when the floodgates open, they pour it on. And that's kind of the way that it's been. There hasn't been a whole lot of overall consistency, but when they score runs, they put up a lot of them in a short period of time. So that's what we needed to see from Kansas City. I know that all the teams around them in the wild card, they all won as well. So disappointing that they weren't able to gain ground, but they were able to salvage a 500 road trip. And you drop 2 of 3 to Detroit. You're kind of on the brink against Chicago, and you're like, man, like, is this going to happen for the Royals? They've really got to get it turned around. And then they're able to actually, you know, get it turned around and make it happen and come back home with a 500 road trip. And so things are back on the table for them. They're still not out of the woods at all, and they're not out of the race.
No,
but it was a good showing for them last night.
I mean, they're going to have to win this series against Detroit, most likely. We're going to have to start seeing some special things against good opponents too, if they're ultimately going to get to the amount of wins that they're going to need to get to, and that means beating good teams. You know, they're beating the bad teams, which they have to do, but they're also going to, I think, have to beat the good ones because they've just got too much ground to make up and not a ton of time to make it up. Ryan Burgert continues to be really good for Kansas City. 6 innings, just an earned run allowed, and that's against an offense that has been pretty good lately. So you feel good about Burgert, and it's a nice reminder as we see him do that, Tommy, that no matter what happens here, no matter what happens in this season, what happens, you know, the rest of the way, whether they can make it or not, they were able to lock up Seth Lugo, and we hope and assume he'll be healthy by next year, whatever it is that's going on with him right now. They were able to do that. They were able to add Burgert to that rotation. So they'll be starting a rotation next year with Lugo, Waka, you hope Reagans is back, Burgert, and Cameron. And like, so let that sink in. And you're starting a lineup with Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez and Vinny Pasquantino and Michael Garcia. Like, everything's going to be okay, and everything is still pointed upward. Whether or not they can get through this will be, you know, it's overcoming the offense getting off to such a horrendous start for half the season. And whether they do or they don't, the future remains bright. But it's going to take that offense that put them so far behind the eight ball being otherworldly, I think, for them to get there. And they're obviously showing us signs of that lately.
Yeah, going back to Ryan Burgert, Nick Cappell, who is the Royals director of media relations, put this out last night that before 2025, there was one pitcher in Royals history that started off his career with the Royals with 5 consecutive starts with more than 5 innings and less than 2 runs in each of those starts. And that was Steve Busby all the way back in 1972. He had 5. Now we've also had 2 more in 2025. Noah Cameron did it earlier this season, and Ryan Burgert has now done it. So you've got 2 really young pitchers that have been stellar in the rotation for Kansas City when they've started off their career with the Royals. And so it only happened one other time in the history of the franchise, and it happened right after the franchise was founded and launched. And now you've had 2 in the same season in Cameron and Burgert. And so, to your point, the future is bright in that rotation, but it's not just about the future. It's about the present as well. And they've got the guys in place. If they can keep this up and continue, I mean, they've got a positive run differential for the first time in several months. It might end up being too little too late for Kansas City, but they're not out of the picture. They're not out of the hunt.
No, I mean, it's still unlikely. It's still on every game that the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Mariners win makes it less likely. That's what sucks, because those are all three good teams. Now they do get the game. You know, there is a possibility in a world, Tommy, I think, where you get into this and it's kind of like, well, what happens in that Seattle series? Right? Because that's where you can control. That's the only series left on their schedule where they control things against the teams they're chasing. So you have that. And then everything else is going to depend on them losing games, right? Like it's not anything that the Royals can control. So I don't think you even worry about that, though. You just continue to try to chip away at this thing and hope that it's enough, but it may not be. It's a series against Detroit. It's a series that just kicked your tail in Detroit. You get it at Kauffman Stadium. Go win that series. Tarek Skubal is going to pitch in that series. Go win that series anyway, right? You get Waka going up against him. You take your chances. Then it's the Angels who have been reeling a little bit lately. Then it's the Twins. Then it's the Guardians who have been reeling a little bit lately. And we'll look at those, you know, 10 games as a critical spot. Because after that, it's Philly, Seattle, and Toronto. Like, it's going big picture right now is tough. Break it down piece by piece. Playing three games against Detroit feels like enough to worry about without looking at anything else. Go win two of those three and then, you know, attack the next one when the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the benefits of the schedule coming up for Kansas City, I know they've got Detroit. I know they've got Seattle. I know they've got the Phillies. They've got good teams coming up in their remaining games. But you also get the Angels for six. And the Angels are a disappointing team. They're a team that you mentioned, I think the word reeling was what you just used. So you need to take advantage of the series and the games against the teams that you are better than. And there are not a lot of them left on the schedule, but the Angels and playing six against the Angels, three at home and three on the road, you've got to start, you know, taking advantage of that. The fact that they were able to at least get two of three from the White Sox, they should have swept them, but still that's five of six against a team in the that you've played in the last couple of weeks, the White Sox, where you're 5-1 against them. You need to do that same sort of thing against the Angels, you know, and you can't drop games against teams that you're objectively better than. Now that you're back at home against Detroit, the goal should be getting 2 of 3 from Detroit as opposed to 1 of 3. Like the opportunities are getting less and less and less because you're running out of games. And so you've got to take advantage where you can. I'm hopeful that because of the way that we saw the Royals come back late in the game on Tuesday against Chicago, when they were on the verge of losing that game and they were down several runs late in the game and they come back and they end up beating the White Sox, I'm hopeful that that opened up the floodgates a little bit. We saw them lay it on in last night's game offensively. The pitching was really good in last night's game. Hopefully that can continue on in this weekend series against the Tigers. One other quick thing. I didn't realize, because it kind of flies under the radar, I didn't realize how good John Schreiber has been over the last month or so. That guy has been absolutely lights out in like his last 10 or 11 appearances. I think he's given up like one earned run in those appearances. He has been rock solid. He doesn't get the kind of accolades that guys like Estevez and Urcic do, but he has been a key contributor in that bullpen. They're probably going to need him this weekend.
Oh, he's been awesome. And he deserves all the credit in the world. He's been a stabilizing force for them, and he's kept it to a bullpen that is a weapon and not a problem. So I totally agree. They play those games starting tomorrow. So you've got 7:10 tomorrow, 6:15 national television broadcast on Saturday. I'll actually be at the Saturday game, getting the family and the in-laws up there.
Will we see you on TV? Will you be in the crowd? Will I get to, you know, see you on TV?
If the cameras can stay away from me, and I think we all know that's a problem. So there's a pretty good chance.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Pretty good chance. And then on Sunday, it'll be day baseball, 1 o'clock. A Waka Skubal, can't miss that. That will be fantastic. There, I'll probably be, might be driving home. I got to figure out how I'm going to be consuming that game. But it'll be a fun series either way. I really hope that it's not the series that derails things. That to me, like, that's a playoff vibe. I don't know how crowded it's going to be. It won't be packed because I think tickets are still reasonable. But it should be pretty dang intense. And all I know is you give my son a chance for the get loud portion of a game, and he's going to get loud. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun to get there. And come on, Royals. We need at least one more week out of you here. We got a week until the NFL starts. We need that. Can you give us that? No, I think they'll give us more than that. I think they'll hang into this thing pretty much down to the wire. If they don't get in, it'll be that close. But those games happen at that point. All right, let's see. Let's give away some HTO here, Tommy. Let's give you a free cup of tea right now. All you got to do is text the keyword tea to 20357. That gets you a free iced tea from either East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. More than 20 flavors to choose from. Lots of stuff coming with HTO. New flavors launching over the next week. We'll talk about that as they launch. I don't think I'm technically allowed to tell you what they are, but they should be a lot of fun. I think people will be excited. But go get your free cup of tea. Go inside, see what it's all about. Tea, 20357. I think that covers our giveaways today. So set you up for the next hour, Tommy. We are going to get to Tim Fitzgerald in the second hour to talk K-State. We get Dylan Edwards news yesterday that we've got to get to, that he looks like he'll miss the next two games. So we'll get what Fitz has been hearing about that. We'll recap his trip to Ireland and look ahead to North Dakota. We've also got PJ Glasser coming in the next segment. I'm getting all these promotions for college football bets, Tommy, and I got no idea what bets to place in college football. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. KU and K-State are spreads that are outrageous. There's some marquee games, and I don't know what to do with them. Hopefully PJ does, and he'll enlighten us in the next hour. It's all coming, and we'll recap the Rashee Rice news as well. Stick around. We got more Sports Daily right after this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.